So our scripture lesson for today comes from Exodus chapter 16, pretty much the whole chapter. I only cut one verse out because I don't think you care about how much an omer is, okay? So hear now the word of God. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.' The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who had gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until morning.' But they didn't listen to Moses. And some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. And on the sixth day they gathered twice as much food, two omers apiece. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning.' So they put it aside until morning, as Moses commanded them. And it did not become foul, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, 'Eat it today, for today is Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none.' On the seventh day some of the people went out to gather, and they found none. The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you food for 2 days. Each of you stay where you are. Do not leave your place on the seventh day.' So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called it manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, in order that they may see the food with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And Moses said to Aaron, 'Take a jar, and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord, to be kept throughout your generations.' And as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the covenant for safekeeping. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a habitable land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So today we're continuing on with our Lord's Prayer sermon series, and what you'll notice is we're to give us this day our daily bread. Now this is the part that is the shortest little section, right? And appropriately enough, I would pick the longest scripture for it, right? But this section of the Lord's Prayer, right, we're praying about, you know, who God is, right? How would be your name? Your kingdom come, your will be done. How do we live our lives, right? And then we take it down to just an everyday, normal, what we have to have level. Think about those of you who are teachers, okay? There's all kinds of stuff that goes into a student being successful, isn't there? Right? It may be that they have had, like you come into a class and there's always going to be students who are really successful and are kind of like star students, right? They're going to, their hand is up all the time and they're answering all the questions, right? They've read the book beforehand, that sort of thing. And there's going to be some that are kind of in the middle and they don't really want to say much, but they're going to do okay. And then there's a few that really need a lot of extra help, right? And somebody who doesn't understand might say, oh, well, there's a really smart kid and a really dumb kid and a kid that doesn't try, right? But we all know that there's a million different things that goes into it, right? The really smart kid might be the kid who had a parent who was able to be with them all the time and to help them and to read to them and help them to grow and do extra work with them, right? And the kid that's in the middle maybe, has had to struggle or has maybe a hidden learning disability or things like that, right, that hasn't been diagnosed yet. And the kid at the end who's struggling might have gone without food every evening, right? And when you think about it, right, if you're trying to learn math, it's hard to pay attention to how to how to reduce fractions when your stomach is rumbling, right? And the basic things can affect everything else down the line. And that's how it is in our school rooms. That's how it is in our homes. That's how it is in our life and our world. You think about, I think about my grandparents, okay? My granny Irene. I was about to say she was a sweet lady. Sometimes she was a sweet lady, okay? But she was a very short little lady, okay? And she was very thin. And part of that was because she grew up, was born like right at the start of the Depression, and she lived in a time where her family was very poor. They didn't have much to eat. She hated gravy. I never could figure out why she wouldn't eat gravy, right? Like she would throw out the gravy when she would make turkey. And it's because she would go multiple days where all they had to eat was gravy. And she had this kind of just hatred of gravy because of that. And I firmly believe that part of why she never was very tall, and part of why she had health issues was because she grew up in a time when she was impoverished, right? And it takes a toll physically, mentally, spiritually on you regardless of what's going on, right? If you don't have the basic things that you need, right? If you don't have bread, if you don't have water to drink, if you don't have a safe place to lay your head, if you don't have peace in your home, then everything else you do for every day is going to be affected by it, right? And so when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, I think it's important for us to reconnect ourselves with what it means to have daily bread, right? Because the people of Israel were worried not just that they wouldn't have really nice cakes and stuff like that. They were worried they wouldn't have anything, right? Because they left everything they had ever known for multiple generations. Now, was that a good place to be? No, they were slaves, right? But they said, but we got to eat. And we didn't have to scrounge for it. We weren't out in the wilderness. We weren't worried about this. We weren't worried about that. And God says, God starts out not annoyed, I think, right? I tried to portray that with the way I read it, but I don't always do a great job. But I think God starts out not annoyed. God says, you know what? I'll provide you with some bread. You'll have bread and you'll have meat. And then they have bread and meat. And suddenly, you know, the prospect of wandering around in the wilderness is not so bad, when you know that you're going to be fed, right? But yet, the people of Israel, what do? They immediately start getting more than they need. Now, this is where I find myself in this scripture, and this is where I find myself in the Lord's Prayer. Is I like too much, right? This last weekend, well, last week was my wife's birthday, and she had a, usually Harper and I will bake a cake for Kristen. Now, it's a cake. It's not good, I wouldn't say. Is it usually pretty? No, okay, but it's made with love. And but this year, she very calmly set Harper down and said, "Hey, can I make my cake this year?" And so Kristen wanted to try this new like almond cake thing, and oh my goodness, let me tell you, it was amazing. I didn't bring any to y'all because I ate it all, but it was soft and buttery and flaky and delicious, and the icing wasn't too sweet and it wasn't too bland, and it was just a perfect combination. And then you had some like almond chips on it. Oh my goodness, it was good, right? And here's my problem. I would finish up a good meal, right, in which we had had good food and I was full, but I knew that cake was there, right? I had to have a piece of that cake. And so I've spent like 5 days where I've just been eating piece after piece of cake. And meanwhile, I'm preparing for this sermon and I'm thinking, here is exactly why I need to pray, give us this day our daily bread, right? Because it's really easy for me, I'll speak for myself, it's really easy for me to get so wrapped up in, I like this, I want more of it, right? Whether that's cookies or ice cream or money, or somebody caring about what I'm doing, or support, or whatever it is, right? I want more of it. If it's good, I want more. Meanwhile, and that's not a problem, right? Like to say, hey, I really enjoy this cake, Kristen. Can I have some more? That make her feel good, right? It's a positive thing, okay? But the problem comes when my desire to have more is juxtaposed with my neighbor who has none, right? And that's where our issue comes. And the Lord's Prayer, the great part about the Lord's Prayer is that every time we pray it, we're reminded of these multiple aspects of our life, right? When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Who are we saying? Whose kingdom is coming on this earth? God's, right? God's kingdom, not the kingdom of America, not the kingdom of any country that we might think of, not the kingdom of whatever person on TV talks, but the kingdom of God, right? And that's where our allegiance is. And that, you know, that talks to us in the world that we live in right now, right? And then we say, give us this day our daily bread. I want to pray, Lord, give me the lottery, right? Because then I'll have daily bread for all the days, right? That seems like a perfectly reasonable prayer. Except that's not what, I mean, how did the people of Israel live for 40 years in the wilderness? They lived by every single day seeing the provision of God poured out for them on the ground at their feet, right? They saw it every single day. And it's easy for me to say, well, but, you know, they had manna on the ground and they didn't have to worry about it. Meanwhile, completely overlooking all the manna that's poured out for me in my life, right? Our manna may not be flaky bread crust on the ground, okay? But our manna might be the love of our families. Our manna might be the fact that we don't have to worry about when the dew settled on the ground, did it settle on me, right? That is the manna that we see every single day. And it's really easy for us to get wrapped up in, I want more, right? I saw a guy in a car the other day. Oh, my goodness. It was I think it was one of the new Corvettes. Man, that thing looks like a spaceship. And I was like, ooh, that's nice. I want one of those, right? Now, is there anything wrong with my vehicles? No, right? Do I need that? No. But want it, right? And that's why I think it's important that we have the Lord's Prayer to ground us back. Give us our daily bread. Not give us more bread than everybody else. Not give me the filet mignon while my neighbor has a crouton from Sunday school this morning. Make sure, Lord, that I have my daily bread. And that's all that I need, right? The people of Israel made it 40 years in the wilderness. Sometimes we focus on how it took them so long, right? What if we focused on the fact that they made it, right? That they lived 40 years in tents and wandering through the wilderness where there were, right, if we know from the rest of the Old Testament, right, there's lions and bears and stuff like that out there. There's all kinds of things that could have happened to them, and yet they survived. Why? Because God provided every single day. And twice on Saturday, or twice on Friday, so that they could eat on Saturday, right? God did that for them. And yet, what do the people do? Well, first, there's two things to learn from this. One, God will provide for our daily bread, right? We can trust in God to provide for our daily bread. Why do I say that? Because, look in the scripture, the first time, there's some people who collect too much, and there's some people that don't collect enough. And even the ones that don't collect enough have enough, right? God has a way of making little into much. Maybe you've had a time in your life where you've discovered that, right? Where maybe you were like my grandma sweeping the front yard because it was dirt. But you can remember that time with joy because of the love and the support that you felt from your family, right? And maybe you had to have some meals where it was just gravy, but you also knew that you were being taken care of and had a certain feeling that maybe you don't have now that you have more material possessions, right? Life is odd like that. God promises, even when we collect too much, that's still just going to be enough. And when we collect too little, God will make it last. But then, when we get greedy, what happens? What happened to the people who got too much? They knew they collected too much. It went rotten. Suddenly, you go in the fridge and there's that green thing and you don't know what it used to be, right? That happens to me from time to time. And why did that happen? Well, it happened because we left it for too long. He said, nah, I don't want to eat that leftover. I'm going to make something new. I'm going to go out to the restaurant, right? And I kind of feel a little twang of guilt every time I find that green thing in the fridge. But God says to the people of Israel, how long are you going to drive me crazy? I told you what to do, right? Don't get too much. Get double on Friday because you need it for Saturday. And just calm down and trust in me. And I think that they eventually figure this out. And the only way I think they eventually figure it out is because it happens every day. Right? It's just like we have a new kitten. If you see me on Facebook, you'll see Loki. He's a little cute little orange kitten. Okay? And he runs all over the place. And he's super sweet. But when my mother-in-law came to visit for my wife's birthday, and she brought her dog, Loki lost his mind when he discovered that a dog exists, okay? He did not know that something that large could come and get in his face, and he went crazy. Now, it's about 4 days later, and Loki is calm. Now, why is he calm after a few days? Because somehow he's seen that big black and brown thing is not going to eat him, right? He's seen that thing only wants to snoodle and lick, right? That it may be humongous, right? His head is bigger than the cat, but he's sweet. You know, he's just a big goofball. And I think that we sometimes are like that kitten. Sometimes we have to be reminded day in and day out that God really does care for us, that God really does love us, and God really will provide for us. Now, does that mean we're always going to have more than we need? No. Does it mean that we're not going to have struggles? No. Because we all have, many of us are right now. But What it does mean is that just like our next chapter, or maybe it was 13, but the people of Israel follow, how did they get through the wilderness? They followed the cloud and the pillar, right? The pillar of fire at night, the pillar of cloud during the day, so that they could know that God was always with them and God would always provide. We right now are wandering through our own wilderness. You could look at it as the COVID situation, right? We think we're done and we take a detour and we go another way, right? But this is not just a one-time detour, right? I don't mean for COVID, but I mean for our lives, right? Each of us has been in times where we thought our path was really easy and clear, and then we had a hard left, and things started to wiggle around for a while. Now, did God leave us when we hit that roadblock? No, God was with us the whole time. Did the Holy Spirit forsake us when we had to take a detour and wander around in the wilderness for a while? No. That is the glory to me of what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, and we say, give us this day our daily bread, that we are humbling ourselves and remembering, one, that we don't need everything that we want, but two, that the Lord who was there for the people of Israel after they had come out of one trauma and into another, that same God who provided for them throughout 40 years in the wilderness will provide for you, will provide for me. And every time that I pray that, it makes me feel a little bit better. And sometimes, because sometimes I think we all feel that it's all about what we do, right? I have to do this or else it's not going to get done. I have to do this or else we're all going to fall apart. I have to do this or we're going to starve. But we all can depend on the one who sustained the people of Israel, the one who gave us Jesus Christ, and the one who will sustain us from here to that other shore. Amen.